This interview is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. In Practice is an independent publisher, and all opinions expressed by guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of In Practice.
Welcome, dear listeners, to this episode of the IP Fieldwork podcast. We will be spending time today talking about how to structure and submit project requests to primary research service providers. This episode is part of our primary research method series. Let's dive right in. Well, I want to begin by talking or asking you to talk about the different kinds of projects that one can conduct, as this sets the stage for how to go about interacting with a service provider.
There are many different types of executive calls you can conduct, and it depends on where you are in the research process or what you're looking to study. For example, learning about a new business or a relatively new company that you haven't conducted calls on before, you don't own already, is very different to maintenance work on a current position that you've owned for years or even decades. And then there are different flavors of calls. So for example, you may want to do a character references on management team. Some investors even do channel checks if they're looking to understand more about where the business may be trading within a quarter, for example. You know, we do less of that, but a lot of the industry still focuses on those types of things. So it really depends on what type of calls and what type of research you're looking to conduct. All have slightly different requirements. I think for the focus of this podcast and our work more broadly, it falls into, let's call it the first two. So learning about a new business or ramping up on a new company and doing maintenance work on a current business that someone may own or have covered before. And those two dominate at least the majority of our work. And for each of those projects, there's still a huge amount of upfront research required. So at least we don't train our analysts to find one company and automatically submit a research project to their team and to speak to an executive, right? There is a huge amount of work upfront, independent research, call it desktop research required, reading the filings, financials, the earnings calls, capital markets days, whatever it may be. Understanding what matters for the business. We have a process internally where they go through and document all this work and this process and record their independent research that we review together. And then you get to the point where you have some kind of hypotheses or questions or line of questions you'd like to explore with a potential executive. And that's where you get to the point of actually, okay, now let's submit a research project to, you know, for us internally, or if you're an analyst at a fund, to your primary research provider.
We've seen a number of patterns over the years that can creep into the way a project request can be formulated. I think a big one of these is this risk of structuring an investigation in a way that can confirm prior assumptions. Let's get into that.
Well, I mean, this is the biggest risk of this whole piece of research, right? All the primary research is the risk is confirming your priors. That even delves back into the research philosophy of an organization or a company. Let's say that you're exploring a new business. You do your research up front and you realize you'd like to speak to former executives to understand more about how a business goes to market, right? Their sales process. Now, what should you include in the brief to an expert network or your primary research provider? Now, how should you explain to them about what you're looking to study and how they should find someone for you? And you know, let's just take this one example, which is you want to speak to former executives. There are obviously many other examples which we can get onto. You might want to speak to competitors. You might want to speak to customers, distributors, etc. But let's say you want to speak to a former salesperson. What should you include in the brief? obviously the basics, the target company you're looking to explore, maybe some of their competitors. Now, the hypotheses or questions that you are specifically exploring, right? And this can be challenging for some people if you are somewhat secretive, or you believe that you know those questions are your edge, then you're going to rely a lot on the expert network provider than having less information than they might have with other people, and therefore potentially you might not find the right person. So obviously target company, competitors, ideally what you're looking to explore. So for example, if you're looking as a salesperson, you want to explore the sales strategy and or pricing versus competitors, how that might have changed over the last 12 months, for example. Now, and this is where it also gets tricky. So who are you looking to speak to? Now, most people just say a salesperson, but actually, you know, that's a big word, especially in these, you know, I don't know, large software company, or there are inbound salespeople, there are outbound salespeople, there are SDRs, there are account executives, there are various different roles and titles of these and responsibilities of people that determine whether they can answer your questions or really help you, or how they can help you learn about a business. And one of the challenges that I've certainly had in the past, and mistakes that I used to make continually, were I would say just, oh, find me a salesperson. But what I really should have said is, find me a salesperson in this region that sells to these customers, or at least these amount of dollars of this product per year. Again, you know, let's say if you find a salesperson that was responsible for a new product that was only less than 1% of revenue. Like, is that relevant to you? So there is an understanding required for me when I submit a project to our team of who am I actually looking for to help me understand, and what am I looking to understand? So for an outbound sales exec, I would submit a different type of profile. I would direct the team or explain what type of products I'm looking to. Is there a minimum amount of account value or dollars sold per year that I'd only be interested in? Am I interested in someone who's only, let's say you've got an enterprise software company that's growing quick but only has 100 customers and only signs 20 per year? You might have a sales exec that signs one or two people, or has only dealt with one or two customers. So the biggest challenge in this industry is that asymmetry of information between the customer and the network. How do you close that gap? Part of closing that is, how do I explain to our team how the company is organized and who I'm looking for within that organization? So laying out the sale, and it can be annoying because it requires a lot more work on the analyst, right? You have to know the org structure. You know, for example, Fevertree. I've been working on Fevertree, as we discussed last week, right? Fevertree is a global business. They have different competitors in different regions, even in different states. They have different go-to-market strategies across states in the US due to different liquor laws. So asking for specific executives in different states is pretty important, right? The competitive landscape in California is very different to what it is in Florida or Texas. And so I think explaining the org structure of the company you're looking at, and directing the primary research provider as clearly as possible to what you're looking for. Otherwise, you're going to get the standard list that of all the people that are already in the network. The person, the primary research provider, is not gonna spend the time to understand whether they're an outbound or an inbound salesperson, of how much they really sold, of what products they really focused on. And you're going to get a very generalized response that's not going to be that effective for you. So what I try and focus on is, okay, what am I looking to understand? And how can I explain to the primary research provider, our team internally, how this business is organized and where they should look and why? And we can get onto the intro call and how you vet them and qualifying questions later on. But I think that sending that brief over with target company, competitors, hypotheses you're really, you know, testing, or questions you're looking to explore. And then the most important part is really, like, who are you looking to speak to, and how do you help them navigate the crazy world of LinkedIn, right? That's what the network is doing. They go on LinkedIn, they go on their internal network. How do you help them? How do you help them navigate the millions of people, you know, thousands of people they might be searching through to find the person you want to speak to?
What really stands out for me is just the amount of work that goes into the preparation stage for the project. And if I think about the way we operate, what might be helpful to share is just how much time is spent understanding how a business is structured, how it fits into a value chain, how the industry actually works. Because as you're saying, there's a huge asymmetry typically to bridge between what an investor might know who's done a bit of work and what the service provider actually has an understanding of. And so we touched a little bit on, and I just want to come back to this briefly around this risk of structuring, you know, so we've talked about how you can help get the service provider across this asymmetry. There's then the actual research questions that you share. And I want to bring us back to this question of confirming priors, of the risk of that process being tainted. So let's talk about that quickly.
Yeah, but that also just goes back to how you approach research, right? If you're like, it's the man with a hammer syndrome. If I go around trying to find reasons why Fevertree is growing so much more than Q, I'm going to find them, right? I'm just confirming my priors. Instead of approaching it in a way, you know, or taking the inverse of why, you know, what Q may be doing or what other companies may be doing, or just where our research has been focused is just how does this work, right? How is Fevertree distributed differently directly versus other companies and on-prem and off-prem? So it just depends how you approach the research process. I've done this before many times years ago on just sending projects that are automatically framing the research up front, and you know, it doesn't really turn out well, frankly. So confirming your priors can start in just how you approach the research process. It can filter through in how you submit projects. It can then filter through in how you ask questions. You know, it's a plague, right? It's a bias in the mind. So it can filter through everywhere. I think it depends on, and maybe we should do a different episode on this, on how you structure your research up front, right? The independent part of the process. And a lot of our work is focused on, as I just said, how does this industry function? Tell me how you get a bottle of Fevertree tonic from Somerset or now the US into a Kroger in Florida. Let's just do that first, and then we can get to the, you know, more subtle aspects of it.
Well, and there's this question that comes up, which I really love, and I see alive in your work and the team's work, is asking yourself the question, am I actually doing this work to learn something new? Am I actually, like, it gets back to a grounding in the purpose of field work.
But it's not just learning something new for the sake of learning something new, right? Like, you have to be exploring things that matter. Otherwise, it's just an intellectual exercise, right? That doesn't really help you achieve what you're trying to achieve, which is to compound the capital. So,
well, that's it, and that's really what I mean. You're kind of going there naturally, but another element on my mind that I think is relevant here is. The importance of the prep work to actually understand how things matter and how an individual call fits within a sequence of calls. And maybe that takes us to, you've touched on a few things that help service providers. The actual, like, giving information beyond just the org structure, beyond what we've spoken about, like, let's look at more bits of information that can be helpful to a service provider in offering someone relevant or multiple people that are relevant.
The other thing is just giving them 5 minutes of your time. Like, these people, imagine if you're, like, for us, for example, and our team internally, they work on my projects, but they also work on our partners, you know, the other investment funds that conduct calls for our platform, they work on their projects. If you're working with a big expert network, they're working on tens, 20, 30 clients, potentially, and their requests, They are under huge amounts of pressure, mainly driven from the old consulting way of working, right? Where if the McKinsey guy gets something on his desk on Friday afternoon, they're not going to sleep Friday night. And therefore, the expert network will receive a project Friday night and they have to respond within half an hour because they compete on speed. So, and that speed, focus on speed and volume has infiltrated the whole industry, for better or for worse, right? But what that means then is that when you are submitting your project to the big expert networks, they're also receiving many other projects. And why should they spend way more time on your project than someone else's? So call them up. Ask them to call you to clarify any points. Give them 5 minutes of your time. One of the biggest things that comes up in our team when we ask them what helps is to speak to them. And only for 5 minutes, 10 minutes max. And so what I always think is how much of five, and I know it can be annoying for an analyst because they want to speak to their primary research provider. But if you're going to spend hours, or if you own a business, or you're going to spend hours doing interviews on a company, what's 5 minutes of your time, 10 minutes of your time worth to get way better results on the interview? So I think the reality is no one puts together the perfect brief. There's always a huge asymmetry of information. Whatever you send over to the provider, there's going to be bits of information missing. They don't understand the industry as much as you. Open the door for a 5 minute call. Because most people also don't do this, if you do speak to them, they're potentially more likely to go above and beyond on your project. And that's just a kind of simple point. And then the other information is feed them whatever you think is helpful. So link them to capital markets days, link them to IR. I mean, they should be doing that anyway, but link them to other industry reports you might have, bits of information that might help them. For example, back to the Fevertree project, just as an example, we explored last week how they distribute differently. They have on-premise channel, off-premise channel. So to grocery stores or to bars and restaurants where it's consumed on-premise. The go-to-market strategy is different in both. They sell directly to grocery stores, but also use Southern Glazers on that channel, where they exclusively use Southern Glazers on the on-premise. So explain that in the project brief. That's probably the most important part of the information. And if you were looking at Fevertree in the US, like that would be, it wouldn't just be I want to speak to a Fevertree salesperson. Well, you're not going to find many on-premise salespeople because it all goes through Southerns. You'll find one person who deals with Southerns. Or you won't find many people that are exploring distributor relationships at Q because they got rid of them all. So I think it's just using your knowledge to direct them in the right place is critical. Not just saying, I want to speak to a salesperson at this company. Give them 5 minutes of your time. And I think that could move the needle.
We've seen it do just that. As we get close to wrapping up, if we can leave our listeners with a checklist of parameters to touch on, to increase the likelihood of a relevant list of experts coming back, and a relevant list of options coming back.
The other thing that I would mention that is interesting is that most companies in the industry and even some funds are accustomed to doing this, is sending qualifying questions to the network, which is the network typically asks. And I think this is again, it comes from the whole industry has been plagued with consulting habits, which is, I'm not sure how much of those habits everyone wants to pick up. But and part of that is driven with, which is, the network will ask the customer, okay, can you just give me, basically one or two or three questions, literally bullet points or one word or one line answers that they then send to the executive to answer, to qualify them to do the interview. And this is actually a very important point because, the hedge fund might not think too much about this. So they might say, who do you want to speak to at Fevertree? Former executive at Fevertree in a sales role in the US. Can they speak about the recent pricing changes last week? And it will be like a yes or no answer question that the network's not going to necessarily elaborate on the questions. They haven't got enough time, right? So they'll just send these questions to the network, to the executive, sorry. So you imagine you're a 55, 60-year-old seasoned professional, seasoned executive, and you get you know, an account manager at a GLG or one of these big expert networks, they reach out to you with three questions. Hi, can you speak about the pricing in Fevertree? Yes or no? Can you speak about the sales via this channel? Yes or no? Like, how much time are they going to spend on that? It's almost borderline disrespectful for them. And so if you are going to do that, what you should do is say, okay, I'm looking for a salesperson. Tell me your dollars sold of dollars sold per year, an objective number. I sold 10 million of Fevertree per year last year. Biggest customers or channel you focused on, product lines you focused on. And then what I would get back as me as the analyst, I'd get back, okay, this guy sold $10 million of Fevertree in California to Kroger and Walmart, and he mainly focused on ginger ale and grapefruit. I had then all the information I need and how I'm, and what value I can get and how I'm going to interview this person, rather than, and how many times do we fill out a survey before we engage with someone diligently? If we get sent these surveys, you've got to tick this, tick that, everyone just ticks it and just says, yeah, I can speak about that.
Well, let alone the problematic incentives of offering a fee. So I think what you have within the traditional expert network context is experts, when asked to self-certify, chronically overstating what they can address. So it's very problematic.
Yeah, so qualifying questions are important if you get sent them, which I think you do if you're working with most other networks. Take the time, craft them diligently, look for objective answers. The way we get around that is we don't do qualifying questions. We do 30, 40 minute introductory calls with the executive. And we've trained our team to explore these types of questions and get this type of information from those calls. And that hopefully prevents some of that self-certifying and ineffective collection of information about the executives. But I think really focus on the qualifying questions if a network has sent you them. Explain as much about the org structure to the network and where they should look within that organization. Be willing to give them 5 minutes of your time. That will help them go above and beyond for you. And just remember that the network is working on 20, 30 other clients, and crush for time and focus on volume.
And that's a wrap for today.
As always, this is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Please do your own research.